That was the only option. That was the right option. CJ was the right man for the job. He hung a curveball. The guy didn't miss it. Harper's good. CJ is really good. CJ numbers against left-handed hitters are among the best in all of baseball. To say that I did not say anything in a derogatory manner towards CJ would say I don't have confidence in him. I have all the confidence in the world in him. If that happens again, you're going to see CJ back out there. He made a bad pitch, and the guy didn't miss it. And that's it.
There you go.
It's simple as that.
Joe Maddon, manager of your Chicago Cubs, World Series champion, trying to make that the old two-for-two back-to-back. Chip Carey, former voice of the Chicago Cubs, of course, the voice of the Braves. You hear him on TBS, and now joining us here on 720 WGN. I'm having dinner last night watching the Cubbies at Harry Carey's, and here comes Chip in, and he sits down to the bar. I didn't want to bother you at the bar last night, Chip, so I figured I'd just, you know, text you today and ask you to come on the show. So thanks for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed your dinner.
My pleasure. It was great. I had a great time seeing all old friends at Harry's last night. I had fun watching the great game with Grant and Dutchie. Hopefully there'll be a better outcome tomorrow afternoon.
Do you believe in baseball momentum in the postseason, Chip?
I think your momentum is as good as your next starting pitcher. I'm sure that there are emotional ebbs and tides, but in playoff baseball, because of the dramatic nature of short series, because the importance of every out and because of the importance of, every base on ball or mistake turning into a rally, and the ebb and flow that comes with that naturally. Yeah, there's momentum, but I think it happens and changes so quickly and goes back and forth so quickly that you don't have to worry about a carryover effect or like the outcome of the game last night. The Cubs are going to lose three games in a row any more than the Nationals were going to lose three in a row after the Cubs won game one of the series. So, yeah, there's carryover, there's momentum, but it all stops and starts once the next pitch is thrown, not only by the starting pitcher, but the guys in the bullpen starting a fresh inning.
Well, in the case of both teams tomorrow night, then at least between the Nationals and Cubs, both teams have pretty good pitchers going, with Scherzer facing Quintana. Yeah. But I think that the thinking with some franchises certainly have different storylines going on, and in the Nationals' case, they've had a tough time getting out of the first round and to lose the first two games at home. It seems like, at least when you hear the comments from Bryce Harper and what was going on in that locker room after the game, that they certainly got a boost of confidence that they certainly needed. And I mean, at least that can't hurt them going forward in this series.
Oh, no question. They're a great team. I mean, the Cubs are a terrific team. One loss in a playoff series when you need to have three of them to be knocked out isn't going to affect the psyche of either the Nationals or the Cubs. You might recall the Cubs last year were down in two of their playoff series, one of them including the World Series, and things worked out pretty darn well for them. The same for Washington. What they didn't want to have happen is come into the road portion of the series from a Nationals perspective down 0-2. They did what they had to do. Now they split the series. The Cubs did what they had to do. They won a game. They've taken away home field advantage. Now if they can take care of business the next two days at Wrigley Field, then they win the series and move on, and Washington goes home again. So, as I said, both teams accomplished what they wanted to. Both teams lost in heartbreaking fashion in the first two games of the series. So I think as far as that's concerned, everything's just as even as the series is.
Well, Chip, we talked about momentum and going into game three. I mean, having Max Scherzer on the mound is kind of what all eyes are on for Cubs fans here in Chicago. But what do you expect out of him, even with that hamstring issue that he's been dealing with?
Well, Max Scherzer is one of the great gamers in Major League Baseball. This guy is a big game pitcher. He is a tremendous strikeout pitcher. He is not going to be afraid, if he's healthy, to take the ball and throw 115 or 120 pitches if that's what it takes. We saw him a lot with the Braves. I think the Braves beat him once in four outings. They gave him some trouble because he can, spray the ball around every now and then. But he is a high-power, high-velocity, high-strikeout guy who is going to take the bit and just run as far as he can. The great unknown is, as you said, how's the hamstring? It's the same question the Cubs are going to ask when Jake Arrieta pitches. How's the hamstring? I suggested earlier today, if I'm the Cubs, that's something I try to find out pretty early in the game. I try to bunt, try to make him feel his position. Don't see how that leg feels, and maybe find something out. But I think we'll know pretty clearly from Max Scherzer that, number one, if it's bothering him, you're not going to know it. And number two, you hope that he just has an off day and you can get to him because, like Steven Strasburg, this guy's a legitimate number one, 1A, top of the rotation ace. And to beat the best, you got to beat the best. That's what the Cubs have on their hands tomorrow.
No doubt about it. If you want to follow Chip Carey on Twitter, it's @KAPAYA1234 Can you explain your Twitter handle, Chip? I was doing Google searches. I'm like, what's going on here? If there's something behind it, I'm assuming there is.
No, I mean, it's something that's just kind of goofy that came up a couple years ago. And there's so many different ways to do Twitter. I think that's just what popped up. It's easy to remember. That's all.
Okay. Well,
no big story behind it. No.
Okay. I guess I'm not going to get my 60 minutes promotion. I always thought that I could be on that show, but breaking Chip Carrot.
Yeah.
So I'm going through your tweets today, just seeing how you're, kind of digesting the baseball playoffs. And you loved the pitching matchup in Game 1 and watching a guy, as you put it, pitch in both Strasburg and Kyle Hendricks. And it seems to me that you kind of long for the days where you have a guy on the mound who's not just firing at 95, but actually is a little more cerebral, a Greg Maddux type. Can you just talk about, how you see the game going, where it's all about power and it's sort of you lose sort of the beauty of baseball in the process?
Well, look, make no mistake, if you have a guy throwing 95 and hitting spots and pitching like Strasburg did the other day, that's pretty darn good, too, and the way John Lester was pitching as well. I think that people who cover the game, talking to scouts and pitching coaches and evaluators all around baseball, the real concern that we have in our sport is that there's such an emphasis on velocity that I think we forget the whole point is for pitchers to get outs. And when we see pitchers going 5 1/3 innings every single start, I mean, the Atlanta Braves this year, I think, had a grand total of 75 or 77 quality starts from their pitchers. That means they had an ERA of 4.50 or better. The other 80-some-odd games, their ERA was higher than 4.50. They averaged 5 2/3 innings pitched as a starting staff for the entire year. And what's happening is guys are coming to the major leagues, throwing as hard as they can, maximum effort on every pitch, and not knowing how to get through a lineup a second many times, or even, God forbid, a third time through the lineup card. And it's forcing managers to make all these pitching changes. It's forcing increased use of bullpens. And a lot of the art of the game is that cat and mouse game between pitcher and hitter that's lost because guys shoot all their bullets in the third or fourth inning of the game. So that's what I did appreciate about what Kyle Hendricks did. He doesn't have to throw 93 miles an hour to get guys out. And I think, as I said, in this era of baseball where everybody's throwing so hard, a guy that has his kind of precision, not to mention his lack of so-called velocity, is really a tough thing for hitters to hit because everybody's used to seeing 95-mile-an-hour fastballs and they just want to go into launch mode with every single swing. So it truly was a great pitching performance by Kyle the other day, and hopefully he'll get another chance to throw another gem like that in this playoff series.
We're talking to Chip Carey here on WGN Radio. And Chip, just hearing what you just were going through in sort of the process of all these pitching changes and the way the game's being played right now kind of is a nice transition to the whole conversation about pace of play. Mm-hmm. My opinion on this has just been, this time of year in October, I really don't care if a game goes 4.5 hours. If it's a great baseball game and all the strategy's going on, yeah, I don't care. But in June, casual fans out there just trying to, get a baseball game in an evening. They got to work the next day. I get it. I get it. So in the context of everything you just brought up and how the game is being played right now, do you think pace of play is an issue?
I do. We live in a Twitter, Facebook, as you said, a Twitter, Facebook society a minute ago. We live in an instant gratification society. Everybody is on their phones constantly seeking information, and they want that information as quickly as they can possibly get it. Because if you don't have that information, in many ways you're being left behind. I believe, in my own opinion, the simplest way to increase pace of game is to call more strikes and to call the strike zone the way that the rule book interprets the strike zone. And hitters aren't going to like that. But the bottom line is we are becoming a three-outcome game, a strikeout, a walk, or a home run. And while the home runs and things are exciting, the ball is not in action enough. You don't get to see the great plays because hitters aren't necessarily swinging the bat. And I've told this story a million times. Bobby Cox's first major league at-bat with the New York Yankees, he took a pitch that was a ball off the plate, and it was called a strike. And he looked back at the home plate umpire, who gave him this very, very terse message. And he said, "It's the major league, son. Swing the bat." And I think if we get the strike zone back to some semblance of normalcy instead of this crazy square that's the size of a coffee can, you're going to see hitters have to swing the bat. You're going to see pitchers more effectively, and they'll be able to pitch, and the pace of game will be improved. That's the simplest way to do it without changing electronic strike zones and all that silliness. let's get the ball in play more. The way to do that is to make the hitter swing the bat. The way to do that is call more strikes.
See, and I completely agree with you, but then baseball wants offense, and if you widen out the strike zone, then you're going to have more swing and misses, and then you're going to have a lot of 2-1 games. Like, that's the other side.
I really don't think that that's going to happen because we have seen more home runs hit Major League Baseball this year than we've ever seen before. We've seen offense rise. The pitcher's almost becoming an endangered species because of the rise in offense. Players are bigger. Players are stronger. Ballparks, in many cases, are getting smaller. I don't think that calling more strikes is going to necessarily lead to lower offense because, you know, guys do get hits and guys do hit home runs. guys do make errors. The whole point of the game is not time of game or even outcome of game. It's the pace of the game, and people want to see the ball in play. I want to see Javi Baez and Addison Russell make great plays up the middle. I want to see Francisco Lindor, take away hits up the middle. I want to see him hit home runs too. But the numbing, mind-numbing ball four, look at the umpire fest that we see during regular season, I think is killing the spirit of the game, and it's something that could be very, very easily remedied, I think.
Do you want the robot ump behind home plate?
No, I don't. Okay. No, I think that I think in many ways we've taken away a lot of what makes baseball baseball. You know, everybody, our sport is great, but it's very reactionary. The Chase Utley leg whip of Ruben Tejada resulted in the slide rule at second base. The Buster Posey collision at the plate against the Marlins resulted in the no collision rule at home plate. No, we don't need that. Let's go back and look at tapes of the Kansas City Royals and the New York Yankees in the playoffs in the 1970s, and watch how Hal McRae slides against Greg Nettles, and watch how Hal McRae slides in against Willie Randolph at second base. You tell me that our sport looks at all like that nowadays. Steve Stone, who's such an influential person in my baseball and my regular life, said, baseball's a tough game played by tough men, and sometimes guys get hurt, but we're turning it into sort of a ballet that doesn't resemble the sport that I think we all fell in love with. It's all antiseptic and replays, and let's make sure we get it right. And I agree, we want to get it right. But in doing so, in my opinion, we're taking so much of the soul away from the game that makes it so enjoyable to watch. And that's kind of frustrating for an old-timer like me.
Hey, Chip, just real quick. It's been an interesting week or so for the Braves down there. A lot of exciting talent in that system. I know a little bit of uncertainty at this point, given the news and the general manager resigning. But what's your outlook for the Braves in this offseason?
Well, I think they're going to be exciting to watch because they do have a tremendous farm system. They've got a lot of young players coming up. As of now, John Hart's going to be the acting GM until they figure out who's going to take over for John Coppolella. His departure was a big surprise to me and a lot of people in Atlanta. Certainly disappointing. This was this man's dream job, and now he doesn't have it. But the future is very bright. They love the new ballpark. Hopefully the Braves will get back to the way that they did business, and that is with outstanding starting pitching. Again, in my opinion, they have terrific young players. They just need some veteran stability on that club, both in the locker room and on the field and on the mound. And if they can do that, I think they have a chance to gradually improve. But looking at the Cubs and looking at the Nationals, it's a wonderful roadmap and blueprint for the Braves to realize how far they have to go, but how good they can be when they get there. And obviously, those of us who love the Braves hope that that's sooner rather than later.
Chip, last one. I want to ask you about Sammy, who you called, you saw the whole thing, and he has a real weird relationship, not only with the Cubs, but also with Cub fans. I'm actually somebody who thinks that he should be back at Wrigley Field in some way. Of course, the Cubs' position is that he's got to apologize for whatever he did off the field before that happens. What would you like to see happen there? Does Sammy, in your mind, need to do an apology before anything happens with the organization?
Well, first of all, I don't work for the Cubs. I don't work for the Cubs organization, and I don't represent Sammy Sosa. So what I think he should do or what I think the Cubs should do isn't really it doesn't really matter. The bottom line is, yeah, he was a terrific player for a long time and was really the bright shining star for some teams that didn't have much else to watch. But watching him hit the ball was really the entertainment that many people saw at Wrigley Field. What he did off the field or on the field, I think, is well documented. You can't change the fact that the guy was still a tremendous player for the Cubs. And as for me personally, He and I did not always see eye to eye, but by and large, he was always great to my family, and he's always was always respectful of me. And for that, I'll always be grateful. And I hope that somehow, some way, that if the time is right for him and the Cubs, that they'll find a way to welcome him back to Wrigley Field with open arms, because he did do an awful lot for the franchise, no doubt about it.
Well said, Chip. We appreciate you taking time on a Sunday. Thanks for jumping on WGN. You're awesome.
Okay,
thank you,
guys. Anytime. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We'll see you soon.